Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another episode of Larry's Biblecast. How are you guys doing? How's everything been going with you all? Me, I've been doing pretty good. Been pretty busy for the last few weeks or so. So I apologize for the delay of another recording. But again, we've had a lot of different schedule changes and unfortunately, just haven't been able to get into trying to get fit a recording in this new schedule that I'm now doing. Again, I'm not a full-time podcaster yet, but God willing, the doors will be open for me to be able to eventually be able to podcast full-time for you guys. But in the meantime, with everything that goes on in our world and in your schedule and my schedule, had time to definitely get in the recording and talk about something that I've read in God's Word, following some of the devotionals. I do, like some of you, hopefully, reading your Word and getting something out the Word of God every single day, praying to the Lord every single day. Isn't it important? It's so important that no matter what happens and what goes on in our lives, that we stay consistent in God's Word and we stay consistent in praying and communicating with our Lord and Savior every day, you know, with our lives, as challenging as it may be, or, you know, maybe not challenging, maybe you have some pretty calm lives, hopefully. hopefully we are able to spend some time at the feet of the Lord, you know, getting direction, getting guidance, which is so important in the times that we're living in. So I hope that you kind of liked the little song that I had in the background. It's a kind of a track from Chill Hop Collection that I've been listening to Chill Hop music. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with it, but it's a, I guess you would call it a fusion of hip hop and nice, chill, melodic sounds. Anyways, you can find it on either Spotify. You can also find it on YouTube as well. Look for the iconic raccoon that they use for their symbol of Chill Hop. So definitely want to kind of let you guys know what that is. What you're listening to is a track, a instrumental track called Up Early by L Train and C Tivi. So yeah, anytime you want to listen to some nice instrumental music, I'm definitely into that myself, along with good inspirational Christian music and gospel music as well. Definitely want to hit up Chill Hop. It's really nice, kind of like a little bit of jazz in a way too. So definitely. So just wanted to mention that. Hey, guess what? For those of you that probably already know, Lecrae has a new album called Church Clothes. I believe this is Church Clothes 4. It might be Church Clothes 4. I can't remember exactly whether it's 4 or the fifth one, but I think it's 4. But man, when I tell you, it's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome music. He already has a deluxe version called, I believe it's Church Clothes, Dry Clean Only. And so those of you that are Lecrae fans like I am, definitely want to check that out, also on Spotify. And so definitely hope you guys check that out. But for those of you, like I said, that are listening to gospel music, there's a ton of gospel music that's out right now. Some new stuff. I believe, I'm not sure. I seen some new stuff on Spotify, but definitely I have to look it up to let you know. I don't want to misquote what I've seen, but when I come back, I'll let you guys know in the next segment. some new gospel music that's out there too that is really inspirational and good to listen to. How many of you wake up in the morning and not only do you pray in the morning, read the Bible, but also try to listen to some good inspirational Christian music or something that inspires you, something that gives you positivity, something that kind of gives you some kind of different frame of mind? Do you realize that a lot of times we just need to change the channel? Change the channel. You know what that means? That means the things that you have been listening to, the things that you feed your ears, things that you feed in your spirit, things that you read, things that you watch on television, believe it or not, or movies. Sometimes that can also have a different effect, whether it be negative or positive. If you ever notice certain music that you may listen to, like what I'm listening to now, it kind of gets you in a great sense of either calmness or peace or, you know, relaxation. And same thing with good, and I mean like good gospel music. Now, I know there's several of you out there that pretty much they'll say, well, gospel music, not all gospel music is, like gospel music, Christian music. And I agree with you. There is some music that it don't have any cursing or swearing in it, but maybe it doesn't give you that spirit-led experience to worship the Lord. At the same time, there are some types of music that will actually kind of get you in a good space of inspiration. I want to say that not all gospel music, in a way, to me, is Christian music. I would say that some music that you hear that is quote unquote labeled as gospel music, sometimes it's just inspirational music. Let me explain what I mean. Sometimes it may not really lead you to, say, worshiping the Lord, but it just sounds inspirational. It's nothing wrong with it, to be honest with you. And I'm not trying to say it in a negative way. It's just that if you are, sometimes when you listen to certain God-based or Christian-based music, a lot of times it, even though it has it on the label, it doesn't seem to really put you in the throne room of God, if you know what I mean. It doesn't give you that place where you are worshiping the Lord, right? There are some music, it's worship music. Worship music specifically has you in a place where you are focused on God, focused on Jesus Christ. That's different. That is different. But there are some, like I said, that are just good inspirational music. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we need inspiration, something different than, say, music that will put us in a negative feeling or something like that. You know, there's some R&B music that I feel that is decent to listen to because it talks about love. It talks about relationships. It talks about commitment to one another. It talks about maybe a man who loves a woman and not in a derogatory or an offensive way, but loves her mind, her spirit, her soul, wants to commit himself to her. Things like that, being romantic, romance is very good. Not so much where it's telling you what I want to do sexually or anything like that. It is romantic, and that is okay. We as human beings, we live in a world that you have to be in relationships. You have to be in a, you should be in a relationship. Relationship meaning whether it's a husband or wife, or maybe you have a significant other, but having good, healthy relationships. So I kind of diverted off of talking about music, so to speak, but I wanted to kind of, like I said, I just wanted to kind of talk with you all, kind of fill in the, excuse me, the empty space of time that I've been away, but I want you to let you know that everything is cool and everything's fine. Just wanted to kind of get on here and put something out for you. But listen, I'm going to go ahead and get into the devotion that I've been reading, and it's simply called Following, What It Means to Follow Jesus, or Follow God, I'm sorry. What does it mean to do that? And how many of you know that it's very important? It's very important that some point in your walk, their devotion with the Lord to follow him. Amen. So I'm going to stop jabbering for a little bit, and we're going to get right into this next episode. Sit back and relax and enjoy this next awesome, inspirational episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hey, hey, so welcome back. So let's get into the devotional today. And this devotional is going to be a 3-day devotional. Hopefully we can get through this kind of timely. So this one is called Come Follow Me. And it's entitled, but in this by the YouVersion Bible app, called What Does It Mean to Follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? I like some of these devotionals, first of all, because I don't really, you know, during this time of recording the podcast and recording these episodes for those of you that are listening, I want this to be something that you as a believer or new believer, or those of you that may not ever be in church or have not been to church, kind of want to get some kind of basic teaching, and then you know, as time goes, we'll continue on. But for the most part, this particular podcast that you're listening to will most of the time be filled with hopefully things that you are or will try to understand when it comes to walking with the Lord. And so this is one of the basics of what does it mean to follow Jesus. And I, like I said before, I know that there has been a lot of questions about what happens after you get saved and what are you being saved from and things like that. So over time, we'll get into a lot of some of those questions and topics, and we'll kind of follow along with some devotionals and some scripture readings out of the Bible. And hopefully, as you continue to listen to some of my episodes, some of your questions will be answered. Now, I want to also say this before going forward in this devotional, is I never want this to be something that substitutes for you as the person that is listening from praying and reading your Bible. I want to always encourage you to pray constantly and read your Bible constantly. And then the third thing that I want to encourage you is to find a Bible believing church. A Bible study would be even good. There are all Bible groups, but somewhere or some organization that you trust and that is teaching the Bible the way it ought to be taught, so that you can continue to grow, so that you can continue to learn from someone who is an accredited Bible teacher or a pastor that is teaching the Word of God in truth, not in his own theory or his own ideas and things like that. Pray first, get direction from the Lord as to where and who you are to get your spiritual feeding from. Okay, so I want to stress the importance of that. And some of my intros to the episodes that you'll hear, I'm going to continue to repeat that, because I feel like I said, in these last and evil days, it's so important for us to be mindful of what God is doing and what he will do. Amen. All right. So let's get right into the devotional real quick. And it's called What Does It Mean to Follow Jesus? And this one is called Come Follow Me. It says, no big shocker that following Jesus is costly. The best things in life always are. It says Louis Giglio. Okay. Louis Giglio, it's a quote from him. Now, it's telling you here, it says, Jesus called his disciples and used the phrase follow me over 20 times in the Bible.
In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that they left their occupations and their families to follow him. Matthew 4:20 says, at once they left their nets and followed him. And later in verse 22, it says, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. There is something profound in how they left. The disciples left to follow Jesus in two ways. One, instantly, and second, completely. They didn't hesitate in their decision. They didn't take anything with them. They didn't run back home to bid farewell to those they loved. They simply said yes and to his call. And for the next 3 years, they did everything with Jesus. Many will say that what the disciples did was radical and over the top. And it was. To follow someone who merely spoke to them, someone who did not live in a palace as a king should, someone who grew up like them, someone who came to serve is extreme. Yet they were compelled to follow. There was an unexplainable, unfamiliar force that pulled them to Jesus. What and who are you following? We all follow something or someone. It may be a person's teaching, a family legacy, or a spiritual philosophy. Our devotion lies somewhere. We just have to admit where that is. As Christ followers, the someone we are to follow is Jesus. But often we get confused about what that really means for us here on earth. If you ask 10 people their thoughts about following Jesus, there's a good chance you'll get 10 different answers. Most answers will have to do with our actions. Like this: live good lives, be kind, show love, go to church, read the Bible, feed the poor, pray for others. There are people who will tell you what you shouldn't do as well. Shouldn't swear, cheat, lie, steal, hurt people, judge anyone. Just be a good person, they say. Then there will be a select few who will tell you the cost of following Jesus is laying down your life so that he can live through you. And what they are suggesting is an all-out surrender to Jesus. Let's dive into what it means to surrender our lives to Jesus as we follow him on this earth. To live our lives so deeply connected to him that saying goodbye to self becomes a joy and honor. Reflect this. When you think of how disciples responded to Jesus' call to follow him, what do you think? Do you feel overwhelmed or inspired at the thought of fully surrendering your life to Jesus? So that's a good question for those of us today. You know, and as I spoke in the earlier segment of this episode, I talked to you about giving your life over to the Lord, and that how the crucifixion or the free gift of God was the sacrifice through Jesus Christ. And salvation is a free gift that we don't earn. We can't achieve that. But what we can do not only as a commitment to the Lord, but what will happen is we have to now go through the redemption process of being sanctified and being justified in him. So that sanctification process is a process. And I stress the importance of that, because it's a daily walk. It's a daily living toward him, wanting, you know, pursuing God, pursuing what it means to be a child of God, or like the devotional says, what does it mean to follow Jesus? If you notice, these disciples, or what we now call the disciples, remember, these were just ordinary men, and they decided to give up their occupations and to follow Christ. Now, One thing I like what it says in this devotion is that Jesus didn't appear to be this extravagant king. He wasn't someone who, you know, we would look at or physically look at and say, oh, he's such a influential man of stature. Because in the earlier days, before they even knew who Christ was, they just knew of him and saw maybe some miracles that he's done. Remember, we live in a time of full, like, so much deception out there. There is people that are going around doing things, and like it says in the devotion, you can follow anything or anyone. You know, some of us, you know, today we follow our favorite artists, meaning the favorite singer, favorite actor, or some of us follow those people in our lives, whether it be our mother and father and things like that. And some of those people are not wrong to follow, as far as, like, you know, like our mothers and fathers, or, you know, for example, you know, some of them are great. They're great people that will, you know, be kind of like a person of influence, a mentor. But what I'm saying is to follow after God, to follow after Jesus Christ, even in this context, is to live your life better. These disciples had no clue about what they were getting into. They didn't have no clue what they were getting into. They didn't know what their life would be, how their life would change. They just knew that something about him was different. And yes, you know, those that follow Christ, those disciples, what we now know as disciples, they were definitely the ones that Christ, not only did he choose, but they chose on their own, and God has now used them as people that we now read about in the Bible. Notice not everyone followed. Not everybody followed. In other words, the Bible doesn't make it seem like the whole world at that time followed Christ. There was a lot of people that doubted him. There was a lot of people that said, oh, he's just a crazy person. There's a lot of people at that time said, don't follow this man because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's talking crazy and radical. There were a lot of people at that time that didn't follow Christ. But those that did follow Christ that we read about in the Bible is those that trusted him. They put their life on hold to follow a man that changed their lives. And so this is something that, again, those of you that are now believers like myself, we've chosen to follow Christ. We've chosen to follow God. Though we weren't around that during that time. We weren't around during that time to physically see Jesus, but now we read about him. Maybe someone like myself, you might have heard the story of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have read the Bible. Maybe you were in a church service, or maybe you had parents like I did that has preached and taught about the Bible and about Jesus Christ. Remember, we are no different than the disciples. We at one time in our lives never knew who he was, never knew what it was like to who God was. And all of a sudden we began to follow. And guess what? You and I, our lives are changed because of this. Listen, I want to speak to you today and let you know that as a believer, not everybody is going to follow and be a Christian. Not everybody's going to believe in God. There's not everybody's going to believe in the Bible. Not everybody's going to believe that there's a heaven and hell. Okay. The message of the gospel is an awesome message, and it's a profound message, and is a message to be trusted. But we also have to also feel, understand, and know that not everybody is going to follow the message of the gospel. Not everybody's going to be a Christian and feel like, oh yeah, we ought to jump on board. But then there's some that will. Some people will for different motives and different reasons. Some will do it out of compulsion. Some will do it out of persuasion. But remember, this is why it's so important that we continue to pray. We continue to pursue God. We continue to pursue him with all authenticity and all genuineness as we possibly can. All right, so we're going to take another short break, and I'm going to be right back with some more to read. I got some scriptures that I want to share with you. Again, I hope you're having a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and keep following after Christ. Amen. I'll be talking to you, and just stay tuned and be right back. Hey, hey, welcome back. Welcome back. So we're going to get right into the scriptures of this devotional. Again, it's called, What Does It Mean to Follow Jesus? How many of you have thought about that question, and even in your own life, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Is this something that you've been wondering? Is this something that you've came across yourself? And perhaps, you know, it's been a challenging question or whatnot. So I'm just kind of curious as to what you guys out there have been thinking about it. I know that life is challenging sometimes, and life has ups and downs, and sometimes you have privileges and things like that, and just all kind of things that happen in this life. And, you know, as I was looking at the scriptures that we're getting ready to read in this devotion, it shows a couple of situations here that some of us can probably identify with. So let's take a look at it real quick. And out of the YouVersion Bible app that I'm reading from. And the first set of scriptures is Matthew chapter 4, verses 9 through 22, excuse me. And it says, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, in Matthew chapter 6:16, verses 24 and 25, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And the last one of this episode will be found in the Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So let's start off with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is more of a really good statement, to the point statement. And understand that anything we do in life, when it comes to God, when it comes to pursuing God and having a relationship with God, I think that it's so important for us to understand at the end that following Jesus is important. Following God is so important. But we have to understand that following God does take faith. It takes faith. It's not something that we will automatically know how to do. But God, he doesn't want too much, but just understand that he wants us to trust him and to rely on him. It takes faith for that, like it says. And I love this verse because it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It says, anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists, that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, one of the things I want to point out on this particular verse is the fact that
when you have chosen to follow God or follow Jesus, like the devotion is talking about here, it takes faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, but he rewards you for seeking him. That is for both the believer and even the non-believer. If any of you out here or that is listening to this, this particular episode by now, and you are just say you're seeking after the Lord and you are not sure about the Christian faith, maybe you're new to the Christian faith, maybe you're still trying to decide on what path that you should take in your spiritual journey. It's not that hard. Let me just first to say that first off, it's not that hard. God is not trying to hide from you. He's not trying to make the search for him very difficult. Sometimes, and it's important to understand that we have expectations that we picture God in such a way as though he's hard. We want him to respond to us. We want maybe an audible voice. We want a sign. We want to test God. We're in these times now where everything seems to have some kind of proof that it exists. There's a lot of arguments as to whether God even exists. There's a lot of arguments about what we see in our world today about there's a lot of pain and anguish and anger and wars and all kind of things that are happening. People dying of different diseases and things like that. There's so much that people will try to say this proves that there is no God, or this says that how can there be a God if you have all these different situations that are going on out here. But the Bible says this. It says it is impossible to please God without faith. Okay. And it says anyone who wants to come to him first, what must believe that God exists. Listen, for all the people that are out there arguing whether the existence of God or why this is happening in the world, and if God loved you and God loves us, then why would he do this? Why would this be allowed to happen? Or you know, so many different questions and things, right? Well, the Bible is very clear as what it says. It says, first of all, it takes faith to even believe in God, okay? And it says that he is a rewarder for those who sincerely seek him. Listen, for those of you that are out there, you got to learn, you got to seek him. You got to constantly seek his presence. And how do you do that? How do you do that? Prayer is one, you know, talking to God. It's simple. Talking to God. God, I don't pray much, or I'm not a spiritual person, but I want to believe in you. I want to trust you. I want to know who you are in my life. Maybe you're one that's never been raised in a Christian home or raised in a spiritual family or anything of that nature. Maybe your background, you've never talked about God, never went to church. The Bible was never read. But yet now you're at a place in your life where I want to know if you exist. Maybe you're the person that so many things has happened in your life and you do want to change. But you are finding it difficult to be at a place where you want to hear from God and believe in him. But there's so many things that are troubling you to the point where you're not sure if you can believe in God. So this verse is very simple and it's very to the point. And it is telling you that it is impossible to please God without faith. But it also is telling you anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. Remember this, friend. It takes faith to believe in God. It takes faith to believe in God. I'm going to say it one more time. It takes faith to believe in God. You can't just look at the sky and say, oh, I see him. You can't, you know, there are so many things that we can see naturally and we can, you know, just like there's so many arguments against God, that the existence of God, but there are so many, excuse me, there's so many arguments that can be said for the proof of God, you know, and there's so much that you can, you know, it's so much that can be talked about on that it will fill up an entire episode. But I will say this for those of you that desire to seek after him, he's there. If you want to seek after the Lord, then seek after him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Don't just say, oh, I've tried and that's it. I guess he don't exist. He's not there. I didn't hear nothing. I didn't get nothing. I didn't hear no answer. Things are still the same, because I know that there's people out there that are like that. They, you know, they didn't answer in the time that I wanted him to answer. Somebody in my life had passed away, or I didn't get this job, or maybe this relationship didn't work out. So I guess there's no God. Listen, God, a lot of times God doesn't work on our timetable. Sometimes our situations don't dictate whether God exists or not, whether he will answer you or not. You know, God doesn't answer everybody's prayer. I'm just going to say that again. God doesn't answer everyone's prayer, especially in the way that we think he ought to. He's not this kind of God. He's a God of power and control. And he's God. He's God. You're not God. Like, I'm not God. So we can't say, God, I'm hungry and give me a hamburger. You see? And if God doesn't give you a hamburger, well, you're not God. See? So you have to understand, first of all, who God is and who he is, and seek after him. Another way of seeking after the Lord is not only are you praying to him and seeking after him and talking to him, but you're reading his word. Do you know, if you just pick up the Bible and read the Bible, and not just read it, but then you begin to pray as you read, or pray before reading the Bible, do you know that God will open your heart, open your mind to see, to be able to understand him, understand who he is. Listen, if you want to find God, you will find him. He's not trying to hide from you. And every time you're praying, he missed me. You can't find me. Just keep on hide and go seek. No, God is not a hide and go seek God. God wants to be found by you. As a matter of fact, he wants to be loved by you, and he wants to love you, and he is loving you. But again, this is all by faith. Amen. Let's go to the verse before this. Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. This is where God is incarnated as Jesus Christ in the physical form. And it's very interesting to me, because for those of us that are believers, we see a different scenario here, in where Jesus is in the physical, face to face with people. And it's something where when Jesus speaks, it's more like this is directly coming from God. This is directly coming from the Son of God. And he's telling them that if you want to be my follower, then you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. That question again, what does it mean to follow him? First of all, give up. When he says give up your way, there are, before we became a follower or became a Christian or call ourselves Christians, right? We
we were at a place where it seemed as though we wasn't sure what we was following. We was following our own way. We was following our own direction. We were on our own path and what we decided what we're going to do. In other words, you was the God of yourself. Okay? And that's how a lot of us were before we encountered Christ, before we encountered who God is, before we decided to say, I don't want my own way. And that's it right there. At some point in your life, if you haven't gotten there yet, this is what Jesus is saying to them, and this is what he's saying to us. At some point, you have to forsake your own way or not want your own way. There's so many things in our life that we're trying to do and we're trying to achieve. We're trying to go in this direction, or we're trying to just do life in our way. And our way is not working. Our way, we're getting in our own way. Let's just put it that way. In other words, our own personality or character traits and what we do and how we think is causing us to sabotage our own way. Now, am I saying that following God is going to just be a magical solution? Sometimes it can be difficult. And sometimes it can be a way that we don't understand. But it's just like what the verse said in Hebrews 11, where it says following God takes faith. And that's the same thing with Jesus. First of all, you have to give up your own way. You have to give up your own way of doing things. Now, I know that a lot of us struggle, and I'm talking about Christians. We start off excited about following God, following Jesus Christ. And then life happens. We get families, we get married, we get have children, we get jobs, homes, and responsibilities, and all these things begin to crowd out your devotion to God. What happens? What happened to that? What happened to I'm be sold out for God, sold out for Jesus Christ? I'm even talking to myself about that. There's so many things that could crowd out your devotion to Christ, crowd out your commitment to follow after him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Do you still take time out of your day to check in with God, to say, God, what do you want me? What is your desire for me? Do you sincerely try to see what it is that God desires of you? Okay? That's a question for us. That's part of following after God, following after Jesus Christ. You see how it seems like very direct and extreme this was? He says, if any of you want to be my follower, you must do what? Give up your own way. It says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, you notice he even puts out here, take up your cross. Now, this is before Christ was crucified on the cross. But in this context, I believe he's saying, take up the cross of the, in other words, what he's seen foretold that you're giving up your life. It was give up your life and follow me. Now, it kind of further goes into verse 25, where it says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Listen to this. Jesus is saying here, give up your way, your path, get off your path of where you're going and get on my path. Get on my path. Listen. A lot of times we think where we're going and the direction we're going is correct. And we just keep wanting to head. And some of us want Jesus to come on our path. And hopefully if he's on our path, that he will make the things that we want better. Or he can fulfill our desires. Remember, it's all about giving up your way for his way. A lot of us are fearful of giving up our way. You know why? Because we
feel that our way is more valuable. We have so many plans. We want God to bless our direction. And that's not the case. This is very direct. And what I love about this is Jesus in the scriptures here is physically standing there telling those who are willing to be disciples. A disciple is one who drops everything in their life to follow him. How many of you in this day and age where we're living with all the things you have, think about it real. Just think about this. With all the things you have and the relationships that you have, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship or not, how many of you can really say, if Jesus was here physically, he says, I want you to follow me. And you wonder what that means. That means get off your job. That means leave your home, leave your belongings, your achievements and everything, your goals of what you want to do in your life, and come follow me. How many of you right now would do that? And I'm serious. How many of you say like the disciples had said, I'll do it. And I want to remind some of you that in Jesus's day, there was 12 disciples. Mind you, he spoke this in front of a crowd of people who I'm sure some of them weren't willing to follow him. They were probably like, well, that's a little too much. We see you, but we don't know who you really are. How can we really trust you or put our faith in you? See, we kind of tend to forget that Jesus wasn't walking around looking like a radiant godlike with a godlike appearance. Jesus was a regular individual. Jesus had the appearance of a regular man. He was standing there with, you know, he didn't look heavenly, so to speak. He looked like a regular person. And he was saying this and addressing this to anyone who would follow him. Now, of course, there were miracles. Of course, there were signs and wonders. But based on signs and wonders and miracles, how many people would actually say, I'm going to follow this person? Not just for the signs and wonders, but for what the words that was coming from him. They were the words of God, and they had to believe and trust God by faith. Now, we're going to go into the next one, which is our last one here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 through 22. And it says here, Jesus called out to them, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. I want to kind of close out with this last verse of scripture or this last section of scripture here. But verse 19, when he says, Jesus called out to them, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. This was a clue or this was the thing that Jesus, his whole commission was about. His whole ministry was about. Come follow me because I have things that I want you to do. I want you to fish for people. I want you, again, to change your direction and follow my direction. Take from what you're doing in the natural as far as you fishing for fish. Now I'm going to show you how to fish for people. Listen, God always has a better direction. We may not understand it. We may even not even agree with it. But at the end, we may not understand God's full scope and his full plan. But that's where, back in Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. You have to believe that he exists. Okay, it takes faith to even believe that God exists, and is and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. See, this is showing us right here that God has a plan for you and for me and for all of us. He has a plan, but we'll never get to that plan if we want our plan. He's not a God that will say, okay, let's go your direction, because he's God. And some of us may even think, well, how does he know that my plan is better? He's not going to tug of war with you. He's not going to argue with you about where you're going versus where he's going. It's not going to be an argument. God says, I'm going this direction and I want you to follow me. And I want you to be on this path. And I got things that I want you to do. I got things that I have planned for you. And the things that I have planned for you are greater than your plans. Again, it takes faith and it takes trust. And for us to have faith and trust in God, we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And we have to have faith and trust that God's plan is way better than our plan. Way better. Again, it takes faith. He calls out to these disciples, to one who was a fisherman, which was Peter. He was a professional fisherman. He wasn't doing it his way. He wasn't catching no fish. He wasn't catching anything. Matter of fact, it was taking him longer. What Jesus did was he showed him, okay, I could do your job better than you can. Now, some of you might think that's kind of unfair because this was Jesus. Jesus could perform miracles. He could just snap his fingers and a bunch of fish came into his net. It's true. But again, we're talking the Son of God. We're talking the Son of Man being able to create or perform a miracle where lots of fish, way more than Peter would have ever been able to catch on his own. And he was able to just command the fish to go right into his net. That was proof enough right there to say, okay, now I've done it your way and I've showed you a better way because I've done it your way. Now come and follow me and I will show you an even better way. I will show you a better way. I will show you how to fish for people, which is more sustainable than fishing for fish. You might be here thinking about it right now, like, man, like it's such a gamble. Like I've achieved so much. I've done so much. I have plans to do this and the plans to do that. And I'm supposed to give this up. That's what God is asking you right now. To give that up and follow him. I think some of us are scared because we don't know. What is it on the other side of what God is asking me to do? But I'm challenging you. If you want God's best, if you want his best, you want his way, then you have to step out in faith. You have to trust him, even though you don't know what it could be. Even though you don't know what the path is going to be like. Because I can't tell you. This is up to you. But it's just wonderful to think of it. Jesus calls to them and says, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Amen. So, let me just say this. I recently got a chance to watch a great series, Christian series, I guess you would call it, called The Chosen. Very interesting, very good series. Episodes 1 and 2 is out, and episode 3 has just finalized. There was a season finale of, season 3. It was seven episodes in season 3. The thing that I'm learning about this series called The Chosen. First of all, let me just say this. It's a very good series. I will tell you that some of you that are believers that read the Bible like I do will immediately see that this is not word for word of the Bible, though you will recognize some situations that have come from the Bible. So this is not something that is going to be a word for word based on the Bible. This is, I would say, go into this, if you haven't seen it yet, go into this with the understanding that the stories that are told in The Chosen are hypothetical stories. And the reason why I say that is because there are situations like the calling of the disciples, as we've just got through reading, that you don't get the whole scenario or the dialogue that could have happened. But The Chosen kind of dives into that. So it's not just, you know, straight up forward like, oh, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for men, fish for people. And how it doesn't give you the backstory. And so The Chosen, what it does, and whether or not it's accurate or not, and whether or not these things actually happen in the Bible, it kind of creates a backstory that is leading up to what you read in the Bible. And that's why I wanted to kind of make sure that you understood that if you never watched The Chosen before, one, you should watch it. Number two, though, just understand that it's not going to be word for word from the Bible itself, because there are so many things that have happened in the Bible that we weren't there. We didn't see it. And so the creators of The Chosen kind of have made it to where, okay, this could have happened. This situation could have happened. This conversations could have happened that led up to what we are reading in the scriptures. So I want to kind of put that out there like that. Understand this. One thing that I learned from watching The Chosen, and it's called The Chosen because it is a series that is based on the choosing of the disciples. It is about the growth of these disciples, these men, these unlearned men, these men that have never, they weren't Bible scholars, they weren't Levitical priests. They weren't Sadducees or Pharisees or teachers of religious law, which it does show some of them in this series. They were, like the Bible says, they were unlearned. They were pretty rough. They had different backgrounds, all of them. They were a diverse group of men and some women. And there were women in this group. So I say this because the thing that I've learned from watching The Chosen, the individual that played Jesus, he was there physically to help disciple them, help to learn, help them to come into their own, to challenge them. And that was the advantage that these disciples had by being around Jesus. They saw God in a way that was up close. They had a chance to see him in a way that we, you and I, don't see him today. So seeing him eat, seeing him physically be tired and preach in front of them and see the miracles that happen, they were able to see this firsthand. And that's why I say that the figure of Jesus was in the physical. It wasn't like he had this radiance around him and this power exuding out of him. He was a ordinary man. And it took faith even at that time for them to believe and trust. And this is why I tell you that why The Chosen, as this series, I understood too, that watching this on film, watching this through physical media, through TV, it was like, I understand how it could have been difficult, even for people in that day, to understand that this is Jesus, the Son of Man. I can also understand why eventually he would have been crucified, or why the Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of religious law were plotting to kill him. So I can see that. I can understand that. And it gives you a great visual scope as to what hypothetically, and I use that word on purpose, because again, we don't know how things developed, and we don't know through the reading and the lens of the scriptures that we read that how situations could have occurred that could lead to it. Now, there's some clues that we read in the Bible, and that's probably why The Chosen has been made, because it gives you information based on the Bible. But again, there are some of us that will look at this and say, well, this couldn't have happened in the Bible. But how do you know? Because we weren't there. Okay. But I will say this in closing. Back to this devotion. The question to you is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Will you today follow Christ? If Christ were to be here in the physical and he asked you, like he did these disciples, come follow me, what would your answer be? Would you hesitate? Would you stop and, well, let me talk to my wife, or let me talk to my husband, or let me talk to my kids or my grandkids, or let me go call and give my job 2 week notice? You see what I'm saying? What would you do? What would you do? What would your answer be? Would there be a thought about it? Or would you immediately say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you right now? Now, I'm not saying that he's asking you to do it, but there's some of you, yes, he is. But some of you, he's asking you because he wants your heart and your mind and your soul and everything, your devotion to him. He doesn't mind you having some of the things that you have, and some of the responsibilities that you have, and maybe the job and the occupation that you have. But maybe he wants you to stay there and stay in that occupation or stay in that situation in order to give your heart over to him, so that that situation can be impacted by you. There's so many things. I can't tell you what it is that God is calling you to do. But the fact is that he wants our hearts, and he wants our minds, and he wants our souls. He wants our devotion. He wants all of us. If we give him all of us, just imagine what the results of that will be like. What would it be? What would our outcome be? What would your outcome be if we gave him all? If we gave him all, not a part, not half, not bring him over to our side, not, well, God, can you just help me with this? And then I'll, no. God says, I want you. I want you. And guess what? We don't know. You don't know whether he's going to ask you to give up all that. But again, everybody's situation is different. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's life path is different. And God, who knows all and sees all and knows better than we do, says, let me take you. Always follow me. For some of us, he's saying, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, guess what? You'll find it. You'll have even more abundantly. Doesn't always mean financially. It doesn't mean physically. It means more abundant life, more about him, his path. Your eyes will become more open. Those of you that are seeking God will see him. And the Bible says that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So my thing to you today is seek the Lord. If you're a believer already and have been a believer, seek him continuously. If you walked away, go back and seek him. Come back to him. So ask yourself this question today. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And again, I will be continuing on in the month of February. And I just hope that you be blessed. And I'll continue and try to put out more episodes as my schedule has changed again. I invite you to check out The Chosen. You can find it either on a streaming service like Peacock, or you can go to YouTube and type in The Chosen. There is also an app that you can download, The Chosen app as well. I highly recommend it. It's a very powerful series, and just wanted to let you know that. It's my last little plug on that. But continue to follow me. Continue to share this episode and subscribe. And God bless you all, and I'll be talking to you soon.